Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Many people fear aging and getting old. They have that inescapable idea of future ill health and the pain and suffering caused by it. Yet a few people endure productive in their professions well into old age, if you count anything past 75 years as old. In Psalm 92 it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." There are blessings even in old age for those who love God with all their heart. One writer expressed his theory of old age in this way. When old age has prevented a person from doing many of the normal things of this life, then the person is left with what they always were. He gave two examples. One uncle spent his life pursuing riches by a variety of schemes. When he was old, all that was left of him was his raw greed, which he had cultivated in a thousand small ways over his lifetime. The second person was his grandmother-in-law. When she died in her mid-80s, she'd already been failing mentally for several years. When she was asked to pray before dinner with her family, she poured out her love for Jesus. She couldn't remember her family's names any longer, but lovingly patted them whenever they were close to her. By the end of her life, she still had a love for God and a love for people. What we want to be in old age, we build into our personality during the many years of active life. In today's Bible adventure, we meet two old people named Simeon and Anna, who had one great desire in their old age. They wanted to see the Messiah before they died and had continued watching for him in the temple in Jerusalem.
Jesus is 6 weeks old now. Now it is time to take the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be presented to the Lord and offer sacrifice, as all Israelites must do with firstborn male babies.
He is God's son. And if God wishes Israel to recognize the baby Jesus as the Messiah, God will bring it about in his own good way.
There lived in Jerusalem a kindly, lovable old man named Simeon. Now Simeon had diligently, prayerfully studied the Scripture and believed that the time for the Messiah to come had arrived. In fact, the Spirit of the Lord had revealed unto the devout Simeon that he would see the promised Messiah. Also in Jerusalem lived a very aged widow named Anna, who, like Simeon, had studied the Scripture and knew that the coming of the Messiah was at hand. She, too, went daily to the temple to pray and to watch the dedication of the firstborn. Anna and Simeon took their usual watching place out of the way of the dedication ceremonies, yet close enough to see clearly.
That family, the next in line, they are poor. She's handing the babe to the priest. Why, he is the promised Savior, the King of Glory. That priest, he holds the Son of God before the altar, just as he would hold an ordinary child. Little does he realize the babe he holds is the one greater than Moses, that he is the Son of God. Pardon me. Your babe. May I hold him?
Surely you may. Here.
Oh, blessed be thou, O God, and this thy Son, Lord God of Israel. Now let me, thy servant, die in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel.
What does he mean, to lighten the Gentiles?
As for thee, thou mother of the Savior, blessed be thou and thy husband. Behold, this thy child is set for the falling of and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
O Israel, give thanks unto the Lord, for this day is the plan of redemption revealed among us. I shall go out into the streets and by-places of Jerusalem and tell the people of this child, make known to them that their salvation is come. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Can you explain to me, Joseph? Do you have any idea what they meant? The shepherd said that Jesus would be a blessing to all the world. And now that nice old man said that Jesus would be a light to lighten the Gentiles.
Well, perhaps it's just that we don't understand the full meaning of his mission to this world.
Surely he shall be king of Israel, occupy the throne of David.
Oh, yes, we can be sure of that. But his true mission could be more far-reaching than merely an earthly king.
Oh, I don't know, Joseph. I know only that my son is a sweet baby, that he is the Son of God and shall be a blessing to Israel. Beyond that, I don't know. Only time will tell.
Simeon was a devout and righteous old man. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw with his very eyes God's promised Messiah. When Mary and Joseph had just brought the infant Jesus into the temple of God, Simeon recognized the baby Jesus immediately as the promised one. Simeon took the child into his arms and gave thanks to God for him. Simeon expressed his willingness to depart this life in peace. Mary and Joseph were amazed at the things Simeon said about Jesus. Simeon blessed them and made a prophetic address to Mary about herself and her child. Simeon said that Jesus was chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He was a sign from God, and many people would speak against him. Today, Jesus' truth and holiness are still denied as they were back then and are spoken of disrespectfully. Jesus is the light to bring salvation to the Gentiles, or non-Jews, and bring honor to the Jews. People at the end of their earthly lives will be judged by the thoughts of their hearts concerning Christ and their response to him. Simeon said that Jesus would be a suffering person in his earthly ministry and that Mary would suffer heartbreak with him because she loved him dearly and loyally. When Simeon had given back the baby Jesus to Mary, an elderly woman named Anna also came to speak to Mary and Joseph. She was a widow who recognized the infant Jesus as the Messiah too. Mary and Joseph came to the temple to dedicate to God Jesus, who was the firstborn male in their family. At the time, Anna was 84, and she'd been devoting her days and nights in the temple to worship, fasting and praying. She was a prophetess and made her discovery of the Messiah or Christ known to all the other worshippers around her. These two incidences are listed in the Gospel of Luke only. Wherever God's Son was taken, God brought witnesses to announce him as the Messiah. There was no secrecy about Jesus, and we can't keep our commitment to Jesus a secret either. A couple of centuries ago, a young man had arranged to work on a ship sailing the high seas. Just before he'd set sail, the man became a Christian, and the senior men in the church that he was attending gave him much good advice on how to counter the evils on board a ship. The church people kept up their prayers for the young man, and after many months, he returned home. When the church people asked him how he'd got on, he replied, "They never found out." In no way at any time had this man shown the rest of the crew that he had belonged to Christ. What a disappointment this would have been for the Lord Jesus, as well as for those faithful prayer warriors who had prayed for his testimony and protection on board the ship. After a time, a Bible college teacher came to realize that he was not witnessing for the Lord Jesus. He scarcely ever shared his faith one-to-one with other people. So eventually he became convicted by the words of the little song which said, "Lead me to some soul today, O teach me, Lord, just what to say." Those words became a sincere prayer to him, and his life began to change. One day, after the teacher had prayed that prayer, he was approached by a girl from the college where he taught. She had spiritual needs in her life, and he was able to show her the way to trust Christ. From then on, he started door knocking with a group from his church. God blessed this man's ministry so that in time he could say the most rewarding experiences he had in his Christian life hadn't come from teaching, pastoring, or ministering around the world. Instead, they'd come from meeting with non-Christians and seeing one after another come to know Christ personally. For many young Christians, a lack of Bible knowledge and life experience hold back their desire to speak to someone about Jesus. Some might get asked questions they don't know how to answer. It's true often that older people have a gift to turn any conversation around from light-hearted humour into serious talk about personal soul danger and the only hope of safety. In every situation, however, a Christian needs to be relying on God's Holy Spirit for the right words to say. A pastor went for a haircut one day. His barber that day was a young Muslim woman. In the course of their conversation, the pastor told the hairdresser that he was a pastor and that he believed in Jesus. And later that day, he was going to perform a funeral. She replied, "Once I was supposed to cut a dead man's hair. They were going to pay me $150, but I wouldn't do it." "Why not?" "I don't like to touch the dead. I'm afraid they'll sit up." "I know one who did," said the pastor. "Oh, you're kidding." "No, I'm not," he replied. And then he told her about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When his haircut was done, she asked, "Are you going to keep coming here?" "Yes, I'll come back," he said. She said, "I would like to know more." That pastor seemed to stay calm and relaxed. When an opening came, he steered the conversation toward the things of God, but he didn't try to get dogmatic or into heavy doctrine. The barber was happy to have him come again because her curiosity was aroused. Each person is different, and some take a long time to absorb the little bit of information they're given. Praying for that person regularly is a necessity in part of being able to help them further, should the opportunity present itself. And this is part of being spiritually mature. A writer reflected on the meaning of maturity. He realized that there was a central mark of maturity. In the human physical state, maturity is measured by when a parent can take good care of his or her children. A tree is considered mature when it bears fruit. A stalk of grain is mature when it can be harvested. In all creation, fruit-bearing is the test of maturity. In the spiritual life, a mature believer bears two kinds of fruit. The first is that of character and holiness in life. The second is becoming a spiritual parent, either by leading others to Christ or by raising a family of Christian children. Many years ago, an old man lived to be 100 in Australia's north. He spent his life in self-pleasing and had no time for the things of God. He was a drunk and often ill-treated his wife. She'd gone to be with God many years before, and he himself seemed to be such a hopeless case. One night in a dream, this old man saw his life as a long winding road that led to the Lord Jesus. He was told that he had gone his own way for a very long time, and it was now time to turn to God. And this the man did. His eyes were almost blind. He paid school children to read the Bible to him. He grew to love the words from the book that he had neglected for so long. He lived another 4 years, and his neighbors came to love the Lord too. The influence of every life affects others every day. We are either turning people toward God or influencing them the other way. A person may well try to shake off his shadow as to free himself from his responsibility. In Romans chapter 14, it says, "None of us lives to himself. Unlike that old man who wasted so much of his life dishonoring God, let us, while we are younger, give up our all." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.